You're listening to The Bulletin with UBS, first broadcast on the 25th of October 2015 on Monocle 24. Hello and welcome to The Bulletin with UBS on Monocle 24. Each week we'll be hearing from the sharpest minds and freshest thinkers in the world of finance, taking you beyond the numbers and the hype and getting to the heart of the big issues of the day. It looks like we'll have to wait a bit longer for the risk-free interest rate to go up. So what are the alternatives? This week we look at the pros and cons of high-yield bonds and which regions offer the most potential. Peter Dinh is Head of High-Yield Credit Research at UBS Wealth Management. He gives us an overview of high-yield bonds.
In a low-yield environment, it's worth reminding ourselves what high-yield bonds actually are. And high-yield bonds are actually corporate bonds issued by companies that have ratings below investment-grade bonds. And that's to say they're rated BB or below by the main rating agencies such as Standard & Poor's, Moody's or Fitch. Now, a company bond can fail to achieve investment-grade ratings for a number of reasons, including by virtue of its size, a lack of diversification, high levels of debt, weak interest coverage, and a combination of these factors. And issuers are typically either fallen angels, startups with little or no operational history, bankruptcy exit financings, and leverage buyouts. And companies that do issue high-yield bonds are not always normally seeking money for growth. That might be M&A growth, organic growth, working capital, or to refinance existing loans and bonds or other debt. Collectively, non-investment grade ratings or speculative grade ratings, as they are sometimes referred to, do suggest a greater chance of an issuer's default, either insofar that it doesn't pay its interest coupons on time or doesn't repay the principal at the end of the term of the bond or the loan.
So why would investors willingly face such risks? Here's Peter again.
Well, in a word, yield. And the more uncertainty about an issuer's ability to repay its debt, the higher the interest rate investors typically demand from its bonds.
Author, investment advisor and fund manager Bob Swarup elaborates.
Well, high-yield bonds started their lives off known as something called junk bonds back in the 1980s. And you know, the whole premise there really was that what you were doing was taking these companies that, frankly speaking, people thought were not really worth the paper that they were written on, and you were trying to sell the debt of these companies to the public or to institutions. And actually, as it happened, perversely, that became a huge market in itself, because what people quickly realized was that, you know, there was an element of stock picking involved, in the sense that if you looked carefully at all these companies, you could try and figure out which ones, you know, although they're borrowing money to ruinous rates, you could actually, you know, figure out which ones might actually last, which ones might not. And then, of course, as happens in every market, the arbitrageurs came in and people kind of suddenly realized you could trade these things, hoping to jump in and out as these companies went on their little credit journey through the ups and the downs.
So, where are high yields at the moment across various regions? We look at the regional differences starting in the US. Leslie Falconio is Executive Director at UBS Wealth Management.
Overall within fixed income, one of the best opportunity sets in the US fixed income asset allocation has been US high yield. And this has been for, you know, a number of years. I mean, over 3 years, US high yield has, you know, produced a return of about 30%. However, as we entered into the third quarter with a lot of the unknowns in regard to the Fed, you know, the rhetoric of a China hard landing, having oil fall 24%, a 6% correction in the S&P, and most importantly, just the true unknowns about what the Fed is going to do going forward in the U.S., you know, caused a lot of risk assets to underperform, and high yield being one of them. You know, unfortunately, it was fairly rapid, and high yield went from one of the top performing asset classes to one of the bottom performing fairly quickly.
Simon Smiles is Chief Investment Officer for UBS's Ultra High Net Worth Division. He explains the differences between the US and European markets.
Well, the size is one clear difference. I mean, the US high yield market is orders of magnitude larger than the European high yield market. Secondly, the sector makeup is clearly very different. A relatively large weight within the US high yield sector of around 13% towards energy stocks, you know, almost no energy exposure within European high yield. And then finally, the rate outlook, based on comments recently from Mario Draghi, it looks as though we're seeing more easing in Europe at the same time that the Fed is debating whether to put up interest rates in the United States. Take all of those factors together, it leads, in our view, to a strong preference for European high yield over US high yield.
Peter Dinh picks up the story, explaining the differences in the American market and Europe.
To give you an example of different yields, and these are of the 20th of October 2015, the Bain benchmark index of US high-yield bonds was yielding almost 7.6%. Now that compares to 3.3% for a comparable index of US investment-grade bonds, and that's almost 5.5 percentage points above the 10-year Treasury rate. Similarly, in Europe, the main benchmark rate for European high-yield bonds is yielding almost 5.3%. Now that compares to 1.4% for a comparable investment grade index, and that's almost 5 points above the 10-year Bund.
But why are the yields so different across regions? Peter, again.
Well, it's worth remembering that the respective components of each index are quite different. For example, the US energy sector represents around about 15% of the US high yield index, while the European high yield index has less than 5% exposure. The average rating of the US high yield index is B+, which compares to BB- for the European index. And the average duration of the US high yield index is around 4.5 years, which is half a year longer than the European high yield index.
Still to come on the Bulletin with UBS, we'll look at the pros and cons of high yield, and we'll gaze into our crystal ball to assess prospects for the future. In America, Leslie Falconio, Executive Director at UBS Wealth Management, explains the pros of high-yield bonds in the States.
In the United States, what we hear a lot about, or I get a lot of questions about, is what happens when interest rates rise, right? That is a big concern of the U.S. market, particularly given the fact that we're entering the first Fed rate hike cycle that we've seen in the past 9 years. I mean, high yield is not really correlated as much to a change in U.S. interest rates. It's a very short duration asset class that offers investors, you know, a very high yield. It is correlated to the U.S. equity market, and it is correlated to the fundamentals in terms of our outlook on U.S. growth. But for investors that are so concerned about what's going to happen with U.S. interest rates, high yield is not a duration concern versus, say, let's say investment-grade corporates, which are very long-duration asset class. Overall, when you look at where yields are in the U.S., the opportunity set of where an investor can gain, you know, true return, and given that yields are so low, there aren't that many alternatives. And to be compensated for an asset class that we believe is going to be, you know, fundamentally strong going forward, it's just value added to the investor.
Simon Smiles gives us his take on the pros of European high yield right now. He thinks it's an attractive area.
When it comes to European high yield bonds, where we have an overweight in the money we manage on behalf of our clients, you've got, again, little energy exposure, which is the area of the wider global high-yield market, which has come under pressure with oil prices where they are. You have an improving economy in Europe, with data continuing to surprise on the upside. And once again, you have the expectation or potential for further easing from the European Central Bank, potentially as soon as December. Those three things together, we think, you know, keep European high-yield as an attractive place for clients to position. At the end of the day, when you're in a negative interest rate environment, any yield is good, let alone high yield.
And what about America?
America, we have a neutral allocation to. Higher energy exposure, economy disappointing at the margin, particularly as we went through the financial market volatility in August and September, and the potential for rate hikes coming out of the United States, leave us, you know, seeing it as less favourable than the European outlook. Where we think there's potentially a more attractive story, though, in the US is US senior loans. So secured bank loans, which are syndicated out, which typically have floating rates. That, for our ultra-high net worth clients, we're recommending as an opportunity.
Fund manager and author Bob Swarup, meanwhile, looks at the negatives in general.
Well, I think with a high-yield bond, what you have to appreciate, I think, up front, is that what you're doing here is taking something that is probably not dissimilar to an equity risk. You know, this is you really buying, in many ways, an equity, where what you're really saying is that this company could be good for the money, but that's only if the growth comes about. So, for example, I mean, and this is how the high-yield bond market started, a lot of private equity buyouts, very often when they issue debt, a lot of them issued debt into the high-yield market, especially these days. And that was because, you know, what they realized was that when you wanted to grow the business and you wanted to leverage up the balance sheet, you know, a bank would only lend you so much money, and they'd be reasonably conservative about the multiples they would lend against. In contrast, a public market, much like any equity fundraise, they ultimately are going to be basing it more on their perception of the growth that you're promising. And so on that basis, you could actually go out and borrow a lot more money. I think the problem with high yield bond, and this is true of even the best of them, is they're ultimately very, very sensitive to the prospect of future growth. There is a little stability there in that sense. So for example, if the company fails to deliver, the bond will of course crater. Is there really much security behind the bond? Well, yes, there will be hard assets and so on that sit in any company's balance sheet. But the reality is you probably are in the same pool with a lot of other creditors. So your chances of recovery are going to be always quite low and protracted.
Let's look to the future now. Leslie Falconio gives us her outlook and rating on high yield in the U.S.
Overall, fundamentally, our view on high yield is still strong. We're neutral in terms of the sector. You know, we do feel that it offers a good risk-reward at these spread levels, given the fact that, you know, investors are earning a high sevens in yield to maturity. And we do think the U.S. fundamentals are still strong. However, given that we really cannot point one variable, if you will, which caused this underperformance, such as we did during the taper tantrum or in the fourth quarter of 2014 when oil fell so strongly, there are multiple variables here. So that's why, you know, we feel that although high yield is a cheap opportunistically, we're keeping a neutral weighting just because we feel that going into this time of the year, liquidity is going to be more important. And as we turn the year into 2016, we'll reassess.
Bob Swarup shares whether he thinks high yield bonds are going in any particular direction.
Well, I think high-yield bonds had a huge run-up in the last few years. I mean, you know, if you look at the impact of all the extremely low rates and the huge amounts of monetary stimulus we had, you know, we've been in an environment where for the last, well, let's say 8 years now, we've been flogging the carcass of yield. And so institutions, investors, and so on, because they've been starved of return, you know, the result has been as many of them moving further and further down the credit risk curve. And high yield has benefited enormously from that. And one of the reasons why a lot of private equity firms began to raise a lot of money in the high yield market was because it actually became cheaper for them to do that than to issue more traditional debt. I think the problem with the high yield market is it actually came in a long way. So for example, if you looked at the typical spreads or the typical yields that high yield bonds were delivering, they were very, very low by historical standards. They've now started to widen out, but I think there's still a long way to go. I mean, certainly the energy and the mining sector is pretty bombed out. And if you look at the latest projections for commodity prices or oil, you know, no one's really expecting China to jump back on the growth bandwagon fast. So they're going to be staying depressed for a while. If you look around the world more broadly, in the US and elsewhere, there are now starting to be jitters around growth. If you look at the emerging markets, where a lot of debt was issued, there are worries as to whether these economies actually have sustainable levels of debt. So high yield definitely has a rocky road ahead. There's going to be, I think, a lot of pain. Now, for people who love buying distressed things and trying to catch falling knives, there will always be opportunities in that. But it's a treacherous game right now for high yield investors.
Let's hear now from Simon Smiles, UBS Chief Investment Officer for Ultra High Net Worth, who gives us a closing thought.
In particular 2013, we saw huge client flows into particularly US high yield. Again, low interest rate environment, the yield pickup that one saw within the US high yield space, in addition to general bullishness among our client base with respect to the US economy and a supportive Federal Reserve engaging quantitative easing, led a large amount of money across our investor base, both on the discretionary and advisory side, into that space. More recently, that has started to unwind in terms of the US high yield holdings. And again, we're recommending that they're shifted into the European high yield in particular, where we do see the outlook as a favourable one.
And that's Simon Smiles bringing us to the end of this 55th edition of The Bulletin with UBS, setting the agenda in the fast-moving world of finance every week here on Monocle 24. Listen again and find out more at monocle.com or catch up via iTunes or SoundCloud. The Bulletin with UBS on Monocle 24.